Good morning. It is 9:03, and you are listening to WPRK Winter Park, Florida. And this is the Sandspur Hour, your weekly hour of the Sandspur.
Yeah.
Rollins student newspaper. Say something.
Hi, my name is Amir Sade.
Oh, yeah. And I'm Greg Golden. Your mic works, too.
Yay, it works.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, seamless start to the show today. Today we'll be talking about the DOMA and Prop 8 rulings from last week.
Not rulings.
Supreme Court. Rulings, not rulings.
Just speaking.
Speaking.
Our presentation of the arguments.
Presentation of the arguments.
Yes.
Clarification.
Rulings don't happen until June.
June. Okay. Florida Film Fest.
Yay, films.
Fox Day. Could be whenever.
Oh, but we all know. Come on, folks. We all know. It's going to be this week.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, so we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
All right. And to open up, we will get you a little bit of music this morning. There's Cake with Long Time. Last week was a big week for marriage equality in the cases that were presented to the Supreme Court regarding DOMA and Prop 8. Amir, tell me a little bit about the history of DOMA.
Okay, so DOMA was actually signed back in the 90s during President Clinton's administration. It was seen to be somewhat of a revolutionary bill at the time. Bill Clinton's excuse, at least in writing it, was that, or not signing it, was that he felt that if he hadn't done this, gay marriage equality and those issues would kind of be set back 10-15 years. So it was kind of a way to satiate the Republicans at the time. What it pretty much, the Defense of Marriage Act spells out, that marriage is between a man and a woman, pretty much. And that's what it stated. So for the longest time, this was the kind of the ruling when it came to marriage. As we can see now, the Defense of Marriage Act, as well as Prop 8, it's kind of gone to the Supreme Court, and the way it's being argued, Defense of Marriage Act-wise, and in both of them, is that it's unconstitutional. And the interesting thing is, not only does President Obama, he's come out vocally against the Defense of Marriage Act, but also Bill Clinton recently, I believe a month or so ago, before this officially came to the Supreme Court, has said that he has rescinded support of the bill that he actually signed back in the 90s, which is very interesting to kind of come full circle. But yeah, so that's the Defense of Marriage Act. And then Prop 8 is a little bit, the history is a little bit more recent. It's kind of been around for roughly the last, 7 or 8 years. Proposition 8 was a measure in California to specifically ban gay marriage. It got support, and it actually passed. And then what actually happened was it went back to ballot because enough people wanted a revote, and they believed there was some controversy to it. And what actually ended up happening was that it got turned down when it went back to the appellates. So then obviously people kind of fought back and forth. It's like, well, no, how can you vote for something and then turn it around? So suddenly, obviously both sides got heated. So what ended up happening was it went up the kind of the court rankings until it went back and forth. Appeals, they said it was unconstitutional. Then they brought it to the Supreme Court. And now the way it's looking now is obviously these two cases are very fundamental. The best way to say it is you are really looking at history. Every generation has its big cases. Brown versus Board of Education, Roe v. Wade. These cases are pretty much tantamount to that, because this symbolizes and not only defines what marriage will be, but also equality. And really, it's just significant. It is a very significant moment in the Supreme Court. And either way they vote, not just saying, it's definitely not a guarantee how they'll vote. But I find it very interesting, find it very funny that most commentators, whether it's contributors or whatnot, in major news outlets, they pretty much all say, if it's not now, if the Supreme Court decides to punt it to the lower courts or what have you, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's very much the tide that's kind of coming in, and it's very much changing. So even looking at gay marriage now, 10 years ago, according to CNN, there was 53% of Americans were against it. Now it's completely changed 180 to say 53% support it. So the tides are very much changing.
And so it'll be an incredible precedent-setting decision if they do vote. What happens if they don't decide to vote on it?
What'll end up happening is, it's looking like they'll at least if anything, vote on DOMA, and it's kind of leaning towards that they won't. They will say that DOMA is unconstitutional. So there's that. The one thing that's a little bit tricky is Prop 8. And what they may say is, when we mean punt it, they may go the route that, oh, we shouldn't have accepted this case. It's kind of out of our reach. It should be resolved as a state's issue, or should be, they may try and finagle it that way. And then what that does is that it kind of, then we go back to the precedent cases, and it kind of will either be brought back to another vote, marriage will either be confined to a state's issue, or it'll need to take another form. A lot of times cases will come and they won't be decided on. For instance, like we have certain, I believe, well, I can't even remember the name of it.
A different case?
Fighting words. Well, we have, like, the way, like, for instance, like, free speech or fighting words cases where they've kind of come to the Supreme Court, and, for instance, Brandenburg v. Ohio is a free speech case. Originally, before it, there was something called Whitney versus New Hampshire. These were all cases leading up to freedom of speech. So what was the limits of freedom of speech? And it's always was looking more and more over the last few decades, since this is going on since the 20s, that freedom of speech needed to be more free. Back at the time when beginning freedom of speech cases were decided by the Supreme Court, this was during World War II, the Red Scare. So speech was very limited. There were times where, like, the Supreme Court pretty much said, if you, like, publish pamphlets that are even unsavory towards the war, that can be charged as treason because it's a time of war and we're very sensitive. That was back, obviously, during World War II and the Red Scare. It finally got up to about the 80s, around that, that 60s, 70s, and 80s, and obviously we had been changing. Whitney versus New Hampshire was a case that it seemed as if that free speech was going to be, like, we had very new changes. Unfortunately, the lawyers in the case didn't argue well enough for Whitney, who was the defendant at the time. And pretty much the Supreme Court was like, we would have voted for you, but the actual, like, you didn't argue it in the correct manner, so we can't give you the case. Kind of winking and nudging in a way that it's like, it's probably going to change, but it has to be with another case that's presented to the Supreme Court. And lo and behold, Whitney actually gets pardoned for her supposed, she was a secretary to an organization that was against, that it was a kind of communistic, anarchistic, but she didn't say anything, she just was working there. And then it finally took Brandenburg v. Ohio, which is a case of a Klansman kind of making some disgusting remarks and whatnot about, African Americans, Jewish people, and when it finally came to the Supreme Court, they said, no, he's within his rights, and that's when we created the eminent lawless test, which actually defined what you can say out in public. And pretty much why I kind of put this long droning story is that there is never really the beauty of the Supreme Court, but also the difficulty of the Supreme Court is that nothing is ever really a case is a case. So yes, some cases are like this could be the big one, but the Supreme Court also has ways to kind of circumvent if they don't feel like...
Circumvent like a final decision.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because sometimes For some, you know, sometimes you want to wait, you don't feel it's the right moment, there's not enough support. So little things. Why will I say that this will happen again? Nobody really knows. I feel I can honestly say with support say that DOMA will probably be found unconstitutional. Prop 8 is a little bit more sketchy, but obviously leaning towards that being found unconstitutional as well. So we'll see.
Right. And if Prop 8 is punted back, do you think that'll open up other states to make their own rulings?
I think so.
The Supreme Court not making a final ruling on it?
Yeah, I feel like what that'll do is it will empower more states to have that be put on the ballot next election year. What it'll do is it'll have people in each of those states want to find it themselves, at least for the time being, you know. So we'll see. We find out in June. Right now they just finished up the arguments and whatnot, and now it's kind of like, okay, June is when the ruling is. So there is always that space with the Supreme Court where you think you know how they're going to rule. Like, you know, reporters will talk about how Justice Roberts was kind of, you know, how he was looking in the courtroom, or Alito or Kennedy. But we really don't know until June what they actually
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Do. Ruth Bader
That's
Ginsburg. She knows
I want to know
like.
How she's looking.
I want to know how she's looking. She is so fine. But, yep, so it's still an ongoing thing, and we'll be finding out within a few short months.
Cool. And at least one comment from a Supreme Court justice came out that indicated that maybe these aren't decisions that they feel comfortable making. And so, again, it remains to be seen whether or not they do send it back to the state or decide to rule on them, which could be precedent setting for marriage equality for the country.
Mm-hmm.
So now we'll get into a little bit more music. This is more Cake with Love You Madly. And in just a few days, what starts on April 5th and lasts until the 14th is the Florida Film Festival, held annually at the Enzian Theater on 1792 Orlando Ave, Mills, whatever you choose to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it is, and there's a lot of good events happening there. Check it out.
I mean, I'm really interested in it. I think it's going to be a ton of fun. But I mean, like, what is the Florida Film Festival, Greg?
It's a lot of films.
Really?
I know that might be obvious, but you've got a whole lot of genres. You've got competition films, British shorts, family films, Florida films, food films, international shorts, midnight movies. They're even doing a popcorn flick in the park, which is over here in Central Park and
Woot!
Park Ave during this extravaganza. And just a lot of different subject matter, documentaries, and more.
And also I heard that there's some special guests that are pretty famous, pretty well known.
Pretty famous special guests will be there. They're showing The Princess Bride with Carrie Ells.
Yes.
Q&A afterwards. The Birds with Tippi Hedren.
Tippi Hedren, I mean, still my beating heart.
And showing Death Proof with, let's see, what's the name of the...
Zoe Bell.
There you go. And so, interesting cross-section of different opportunities where you can get to see some of these stars, these movies in person.
And there's always a Q&A afterwards.
Yes.
So that's always fascinating.
Yeah. Having seen the movie The Girl, which is about Hitchcock and his relationship with Tippi Hedren during the filming of The Birds, I'd be super interested in seeing how she even just reacts to watching it.
Again, just watching it there. And I mean, it's so crazy. Her relationship with Alfred Hitchcock has kind of been re-put back on the surface with The Birds and, you know, kind of her doing interviews and whatnot. I mean, but also Zoe Bell, a really great stunt woman, but also has had her own set of, you know, recognition with movies like Death Proof and whatnot. And then obviously Princess Bride. Who doesn't love The Princess Bride?
I don't know.
They
find me a person.
well, they must not have a heart, or it must be of stone.
Right.
But yes, yeah, so I think all, so definitely all those opportunities are great. But I mean, not only that, the ability to see movies, movies that are kind of out there, out of the, you know, the zeitgeist, the, they aren't, you know, the most well-known, but still have a lot of these, this great quality, really being able to see films that you maybe normally wouldn't see at your regular movie theater. I think that's also right. The importance of the film festival.
Another one, I Am Divine, about Divine.
Yes. Yes.
The transgender actor in...
Pink Flamingos.
Yeah, and the original Hairspray.
Yes.
Yeah, the John Waters cast actor. And so that's an interesting one. That's one is at midnight on April 6th and again on April 8th.
Yes.
And there's some, I think I mentioned food documentaries, which if you've seen something like Jiro Dreams of Sushi, makes you hungry.
I would assume so, because I feel like whenever food dreams of food, it just makes me even more hungry. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, those are usually a good time, making the mood for a good meal.
Exactly.
Which you could find around there. Or even at the Enzian, they have food, which is good.
I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So, I mean, I feel it. So, yeah, if you haven't checked it out, if you have the chance, I don't know. It's definitely a very interesting opportunity. It's something that comes once a year, literally. Only comes once a year.
It does.
You know, and who doesn't want to meet Tippi Hedren?
I don't know.
Again, no heart, no soul.
And there's even some local films, Florida Shorts, The Best of Brouhaha, which is a comedic short category. And all this information and more can be found at floridafilmfestival.com, where you could take a trip right down the road to the old Enzian.
Checking it out. There. Check it out, you know.
Which is a good place for regular film experiences as well. Usually showing things that are not at the local multiplex.
The local multiplex.
That's right. And so there's a lot that you can find out there.
So much.
A lot you can check out. And I do have another musical...
selection?
Selection here.
Fun, fun. It's
The White Stripes with Jolene.
Jolene.
There's another event coming to the Rollins community that we cannot tell you when it is because we do not know.
Mm.
But if we did...
we would be screaming it on every mountaintop.
Exactly. And that is
Fox Day!
Fox Day.
I might have been a little bit loud, but
that's,
I'm sorry.
All right. Waking everyone up this morning.
That's what happens when you get a little bit excited for when the fox comes out.
Yep.
You know, we mentioned this a little bit beforehand. You weren't here, unfortunately. It was with me and Liv. We talked about it right after spring break, the importance of Fox Day, the wonderfulness that is Fox Day, kind of giving people a rundown. But it is looking as if, not to be presumptuous, it's going to be this week.
Hmm.
What's your
source?
Well, I can't name my source. Just somebody who potentially, you know, works in the Fox Day madness.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing through the grapevine that it's either going to be Wednesday or Thursday.
I heard Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Lies. No, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it could very... the thing that I'm trying... I think we want to emphasize, it's probably going to be this week, Tuesday through Thursday.
Okay.
It's never Monday. It's never Friday. Definitely wasn't today.
Nope.
But it seems much more ideal. I don't know. The weather is better this week. It wasn't like last week where it was cold. Last week was lip sync and the Academic Awards ceremony, which couldn't make it last week. It seems like next week is, it could potentially not happen this week and then would have to happen next week, but I just
feel
it. Naturally. But I just feel it. I feel like the winter air. Like, it's gone. Like, now it's time for Fox Day. Like, the sun is out and I'm just like, I'm in the mood for some Fox Day.
Right. And, of course, you've never been wrong before.
Right? I've never been wrong, ever.
No one's strongest hunches have been
thwarted
by the president's decision.
But what I will say is that if there was ever a time to play Fox Day Roulette, which, kids, you shouldn't play Fox Day Roulette, but if you did, this would be the week.
What's Fox Day Roulette?
Fox Day Roulette.
Asks our unknowing listener.
Fox Day Roulette is a certain time-honored tradition where college students at Rollins will forego, studying for exams, doing homework assignments, general responsibilities of a student for the blind hope and prayer that Fox Day will be the next day. Now, there are a few stages in Fox Day Roulette. There's a contemplation, the psych up that happens the day before, or the day of, where you're like, okay, I'm not gonna do it. I have too much to do, I'm just gonna relax. Second stage is when midnight hits, that midnight one in the morning, where you're kind of like, okay, like this is the turning back point. This is like, if I can either continue not doing my work, or I can just jump all into it and I have time. This is that point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third stage, realization or outcome. It's 6 in the morning, 6:30. Now it's 7 o'clock and the fox is still not out there. And you try and convince yourself, no, it's fine. Like, it'll be a little late. It can come out at, you know, maybe 8. When you realize, oh, wait, people have classes at 8 in the morning and that's not a thing. And then that is scramble time, which is, I don't know, do I call into class sick or, oh, wait, I have my exam, time to cram. That is Fox Day Roulette. Although it could end positively for you, and the other alternative is that it is Fox Day, and where you just had a glorious night of anxiety-ridden sweat stains,
just
waking up in cold chills, all because you didn't want to do your work on time because you blindly hoped for a holiday that comes once a year and is completely and utterly random.
Yes. So random that we have it narrowed down to a few weeks. But
As President Duncan will say, if you ask him when Fox Day is, he will always give you the hint, well, it's within the next 5 weeks.
Yeah. Real helpful.
Real helpful.
And so, I guess we're not sure whether there's buses to the beach this year.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. All I know is that there aren't going to be Fox Day shirts for sophomores, juniors, and seniors. That was a thing. I know people were perturbed about that.
Uh-huh.
There will be events on campus. There will be things going on here provided by SGA. There will be, like, pizza from Park Ave, and the pool will be open, and they'll have, like, water slides and stuff, and Italian ice, all that jazz. So that'll be fun. So there will be stuff to do on campus if you don't feel like going out to the beach. If you do feel like going out to the beach or to Universal, there's always the option to go. Make wise decisions. I don't want to get kicked off of any more beaches because I really like going to the beach, especially on Fox Day. I'm looking at you, Drunken Dan.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about Sober Sally, but it's Drunken Dan who ruins things.
Right.
He's the reason why we can't have nice things. Ever.
And then, just to make this clear, Fox Day and Fox Fest are two different things.
That is also important to note. These are actually two different things.
Yeah.
Time-honored tradition of skipping class and having things canceled. New time-honored tradition to rock your faces off to music. So,
right.
Time-honored, but not the same.
Similarities and differences. Fox Day and Fox Fest, rockin' times.
Rockin'.
Times to party.
They are rad. And totally tubular.
Differences. Fox Day, random day. Fox Fest, fixed day.
Fixed day.
Also, April 13th.
I have another one. Fox Day usually aren't on campus. Fox Fest, please stay on campus.
Right, on campus.
It's on campus.
Yes. It is on Mills Lawn / the Green. And you know, these bands aren't going to be alerted at 6 in the morning to come on a random day. That is why they're not coming on Fox Day, but rather on Fox Fest.
On Fox Fest.
For Fox Fest.
For
yes.
Fox Fest. So, yes. So, folks, so I guess either way, Fox Day will be coming soon. Obviously, don't know when. I'm excited about it. I'm thinking about going to the beach, macking on some fine honeys, just relaxing, maxing, all cool. I don't know. Maybe I'll shoot some b-ball outside of the school.
Yeah.
How about you, Greg? What are you thinking about doing this wonderful Fox Day?
Yeah, this will be my first Staff Fox Day.
Woot.
So I'll have to figure out what secret Staff Fox Day things go on.
You guys go to the dungeon under the dungeon. Chapel. You guys don't know there's a dungeon under the chapel.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just know about the cage in Sanspur Tower.
The cage in Sanspur, yes.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous, which is kind of like, I feel like that's where you, like, are supposed to hide, like, body armor and, like, that's like a police, well, it's like a police cage where you're like, yeah.
Okay, oh. Yeah. Well, we had the evidence. You know, it's all, like, stored in the,
yeah.
No, we don't do that.
No.
But according to our April Fool's edition, which came out last Thursday, but it was in the spirit of today, April Fool's Day.
April Fool's!
Right. And so one of our stories, which is an untrue April Fool's Day story,
untrue,
is that we were hazing our first years by locking them in the cage, which you'll see photographed in a staged photo on the cover.
I love how we have to emphasize it was a staged photo.
Oh, it was staged.
Which was not. We did not actually put them in there against their will.
Right.
Even though we really wanted to. No. No. Jokes on jokes, folks. But, no. April Fool's Day. You do bring up a good point. I mean, April Fool's Day is today.
Yeah, great point.
It is another time-honored thing, although it's a around the world ish type of thing. Greg, have you ever pulled any really crazy April Fool's shenanigans on somebody?
Really, just I've written some ribald April Fool's Day articles. Other than that, I can't really remember a time when I pulled a big prank or something. You know, there's like the little pranks in school, like putting the chalk inside the eraser so when you tried to erase it would just put chalk everywhere. You know? You know that one?
Yes, I do. That's very fascinating.
Yeah.
I will say that I was a bold rapscallion back in the day. I will admit I was very much for the kick me sign.
Uh-huh.
And I did not just strewn place. I'll just place said signs on my fellow classmen and classwomen. I was bowled one afternoon, and I waited and I poised. I was always the good child, so nobody expected it from me. And I placed said sign behind my teacher's back. And insanity ensued because she stood up. I asked her. I was very coy, like, "Oh, can you help me with this question or whatnot?" So she's like, "Oh, sure, I'm here." He's just so studious, and I placed said sign ever so delicately. And folks, the perfect way to implement a kick me sign is to make sure that the size of the paper isn't too big, so where the person can feel it. Not too small so that people can't read it, and the sticky adhesive is sticky enough to be ever so stuck
gently,
perfectly.
Yeah.
But so where you don't,
so
have,
you don't
to
have to like push down. Yeah.
Or the whole thing is ruined.
So
this is the art of the kick me sign.
Talking about duct tape here?
Duct tape is a thing. You can. If you use like a sticky note, don't use a sticky note, folks.
If you're going to use it, don't
use a sticky note. If anything, use a piece of paper. If you have time, cut the corners just a little bit, an inch within. You know, so it fits squarely on the back, and definitely use multiple pieces of tape, and put them in those circles. You know, because then it just becomes awkward when you try, and then they look, and then it falls to the ground, and you just have to be like, "Oh,
I was trying to take the sign off your back."
Exactly, Greg knows. He knows what's up.
Yeah,
and pretty much the moral of the story is while many of the students laughed, I felt very guilty because I thought my teacher was going to, like, put me in, like, time out or detention or whatever. And this was around, like, fourth or fifth grade. And then, like, I went to the bathroom and started crying. So that was the whole joke on myself, because I wasn't of the right fortitude to handle pranking. I was too young to prank. I thought I was ready, and I had done it, and I was all revelrous, and yet no, I was not ready. I was still an infant. But now, man of steel.
Yes.
Watch out, folks, because this is the 1st of April.
Professors, watch your backs, literally, for kick me signs.
Watch your backs for kick me signs.
From one Amir.
Yes, exactly. So, but yes, so April Fool's Day, folks, as much as we love jokes, we love making jokes, you know, just don't take it too out of hand. Be sure you're ready to pull said act and buy, I don't want to say buyers beware, because we're not buying, but citizens of Rollins College beware.
Yes. Agreed. What you got queued up here?
Got a little bit. I'm going to take you back a little bit to take you back, just not too far, but I'm going to have some aha play take on me.
All right.
So let's have some fun, folks.
Welcome back to the Sands Per Hour. We're going into our final segment of the morning. Hope that you had a good morning.
Good
so
morning.
Far.
Good April 1st, Monday morning. I mean, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah. All those things are correct. So, we do have, we can update you a little bit on the president's no confidence vote.
Oh, wow,
did,
we can.
A little bit.
Okay, cool, yeah.
At least in how you can find out a little bit more about the dialogue that's going on.
I love it.
On the sanspur.org and in our most recent issue on Stans, we have the president's response, which was pretty lengthy, about
sure.
Page and a half, single-spaced, in which he stated that he respectfully disagrees with the faculty's assertion that there is a lack of communication in place and that he is listening to them and taking their opinions into consideration when he's making these decisions that are affecting the school and the creation of new schools and programs and the curricular impact that it has. And so that is available online, as well as the faculty's response to that piece. And so the Sanspur has really been this medium of communication, at least for the school, to see what is going on between I guess you could say both factions, who are, well, on the support side of the president has been the president. There hasn't been anything submitted to us yet that is in defense of his decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the faculty have co-signed letters that, again, state their position and why they feel that the vote of no confidence was the
necessary.
Right decision and what they would like to see going forward. And so what happens next is the Board of Trustees has a conference call where they will discuss actions.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next week or so, we should be seeing either a vote of support or on the other side would probably be no comment, which would probably
indicate,
be a poor sign for
the president.
Yes. So that's the way in which that will
turn out.
Yes.
Still, like Fox Day, many unknown variables.
Many unknown variables, like
you
Fox
see,
Day.
Yes, see, that's,
things at Fox Day.
Greg was giving me a sigh he was giving me a sigh of no confidence over here, and I had to set him straight.
I saw where you're going. You know, we played similarities, no similarities
yes,
before.
The game of similarities, differences. But no, but we'll see. I mean, again, this is a very interesting time. Very, I guess, historic time, not only for Rollins, but just the United States, what we have DOMA and Prop 8, and then
let's
we
bring
have,
it all together.
Obviously, that was the point, Craig.
In summation.
We have a history is going on, but in a way, history always happens, isn't it? Every day of our lives we live is another historic moment we can write in the books.
Right.
The more you know, kids, the more you know.
And some presidents are surprised that students are taking an interest into what's going on with the president, which I think once you just start throwing the names around, like president, no confidence,
the faculty,
upheaval,
67 to 10,
usurping.
Those are numbers and things. Nobody says usurping, Greg. This isn't like a rebellious third world state.
Okay,
you usurp the power. I agree. I mean, this is something that very much interests students because really who the president is defines their type of education.
You know,
it's a mix between, of course, faculty, but also whatever the president edicts as important or what he rules, or what policy is enacted very much affects them and it very much affects their posterity growing up if they also want to come to Rollins too. So, you know, when you come to college, you become very vested in the politics of said college.
Right. And what's at stake are the principles of a liberal arts education and whether or not there should be just more of a focus on a vocational school aspect where you are learning a skill that prepares you for one particular profession versus really opening up your mind to different ways of thinking and different disciplines and allowing that to give you the education that would really suit you in a lot of different professions. It just gives you the onus of having to come up with that is for yourself rather than sort of spoon feeding you what you should be doing. So, you know, it's not nature versus nurture, but that's the thing that came to my mind incorrectly.
Yes.
So I'm going to say that.
Okay.
Okay is the response to that.
What do you want me to say, Greg? What
Nothing.
Do you want me to say? Silence
would have been fine.
Fine. I'll just be silent the next episode and you can run the show yourself.
See about that. Maybe if it's Fox Day, that'll happen.
If it's Fox Day, then yes. Then I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to be here, folks. I'm sorry. Probably on a beach in sandals, bathing suit.
At all. And so, like I was saying, some of these updates about the president's vote have been coming on Sainsbury.org when the weekly update provided by the paper isn't sufficient. So if you're interested in this ordeal, you may visit the site early and often for updates. We also have been tweeting and posting on Facebook these updates, and you may follow those streams at the Sanspur on Twitter and at facebook.com/thesanspur. So those are a couple ways to get involved. For our students, we have an article assignment and general meeting tonight at 6 p.m.
Fun.
We'll be having some pizza and trying to get the people.
My eyes got really big when you said,
yep.
Greg, pizza, what?
Yeah.
Ooh, I love pizza.
Getting the people in the doors to write some news.
Write some news, folks.
Yeah.
Spread the word.
And we have other positions available.
Yes.
Section editing. We need to fill some spots for next year.
Yeah.
Designing our lovely paper. And we'll probably want a copy editor or two for next year.
Do we
just do some hiring there?
Have we already figured out editor in chief and all that stuff?
Nope. We'll announce that when it happens.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have the new editor in chief on.
Oh wow!
Exclusive. Yeah,
it's an exclusive.
Uh huh.
So yeah, it's a thing.
So look forward to that one.
I am looking forward. I'm looking forward and onward and outward.
Good,
but not inward because that's a.
Mm.
But I'm looking in that general direction, so I can't wait to look over that horizon.
Yes. The artificial horizon.
That artificial horizon.
I'm just playing, you know, word association now. You know? Oh, now I get science.
You know, I'm just... Craig, sometimes, Craig, I don't know.
Where did horizon
come
from?
I feel like you're second banana to me. Like, uh-oh. I'm the main fiddle.
Main banana fiddle.
The main banana fiddle. What a wondrous thing.
Yeah.
The so, Mets. Those Mets. No.
Hey, we're in orange.
I am. Yes, I am. Fun.
Yeah.
But no, but yes, folks.
But no, but yes.
But no, Bo Chimps. But no, we just wanted to say thank you so much. I hope you all have a wonderful April Fool's Day, guys. Again, listen to my tips. Be smart about your pranking. Be ready to prank. And watch out for them pranks, because that's a thing.
Right. The prank triumvirate.
The triumvirate. Three.
Yes. So, as we say adieu, if there is a Fox Day, we wish you a good one.
Oh, I hope you have the best Fox Day.
But there will be a week, so have a good week.
Well, I hope you have an amazing week. Okay, Greg, fine. But I hope your Fox Day is significantly better than the week as a whole.
Okay.
I hope that one day is better than the culmination of the other 6 days that surround it.
All right.
I just want you to enjoy yourselves. Greg, can I not wish our listeners a wonderful Fox Day? Can that just not be a thing?
Oh, you can.
He's my friend, folks. He's my friend. But sometimes.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Have a wonderful week.
Bye.